Kilayim, Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph, 8:1. This Mishnah serves as a great review of what we said so far, as well as an introduction to what we're going to say coming up. So the 8th Perek of Kilayim, we'll be discussing the halachas of Kilay Behema, of forbidden mixtures with animals, of which there are two different issues. One issue is to cross-breed animals, that is to force them or physically make them mate. And the second issue is to cross-work them to, let's say, for example, have an ox and a donkey pull a plow together. So that will be the topic of our perek over here. But the Mishnah first, in Mishnah Aleph, will contrast the halachas of the two types of kilayim we've seen so far, namely kilay hakerem and kilay zeraim, with the two types of kilayim that we're going to see, namely kilay behema, and then in the final perek, the 9th perek of kilayim, we'll discuss Kilay Begadim, the forbidden mixtures and clothing, which is what we call shatnas, wool and linen woven together. So the Mishnah says, defining the differences between the four categories of Kilayim, Kilay HaKerim, Kilay Zeraim, Kilay Behema, and Kilay Begadim, by saying, Kilay HaKerim, when it comes to forbidden mixtures in a vineyard, Asura Milizroa, Umilakayim, Vasurim Bahana. Kilay HaKerim is forbidden to plant and to maintain, and it's forbidden to get benefit from it. So each in its own time. First, milizroa, to plant it. So a fascinating thing, which we've discussed a couple times already, is that it's not clear at all what the nature of the prohibition of kilai, the exact definition of the prohibition of planting kilai hakerem is. The pasuk forbids, I'll speak English to make sure it's perfectly clear, it forbids planting kilayim in a vineyard. So there's two ways to understand that. Many understand it simply mean that you can't have a grain or green planted in a vineyard. So to plant wheat inside a vineyard, then those four almost the work area of a vineyard, a kerem, etc., that would be considered to be planting kilayim. That's how our Mishnayos have read the whole way through, and that seems to be sort of how it's been understood. However, many learn, it's based on a Yushalmi, and the many learn, including the Rambam, including the Bar Tanura, our hero, that the pasuk should be read, don't plant kilayim, meaning kilay zeraim, meaning two different species of, let's say, grain. So, for example, wheat and barley together in a vineyard. And if you do plant wheat and barley together in a vineyard, so then it's not just generic kilayim, but it's kilayim in a vineyard. And the produce of that forbidden mixture, meaning the grain, both the wheat and the barley, as well as the grapes, will become Asr Bahana, forbidden to get benefit from. So that's how the Bar Tanura learns that kilayim in a vineyard, kilay hakerem, isn't how we've sort of seen on face value throughout the past four parakim, merely having grains or greens in a vineyard. It's having two different species, let's say, of grain in a vineyard. And if you do plant wheat and barley, two different species of grain together, that's already kilay zeraim, in a vineyard, you also have kilay hakerem, and therefore you'll be actually getting two sets of malchus, of lashes, one for violating kilay zeraim, planting the wheat and barley together, and a second set of malchus for planting that forbidden mixture of wheat and barley together in a vineyard. That's indeed how the Bar Tanura learns, that's indeed how the Rambam paskens it. Surprisingly, but that's how it is. It's surprising because our Mishnayos didn't seem to suggest that, but that is how they rule. Second of all, kilay hakerem is also asur milakayim, to maintain it. So that means if one has a vineyard, and in the vineyard he sees his wheat growing, or the greens, whatever it is, the vegetables growing in the vineyard, you've seen already it has to be removed. If a person fails to remove that grain or greens from growing inside his vineyard, again, like the usual things we said before, within four amos of the vineyard, or six tfachim if it's a single vine, then he is violating this. However, it seems that one, to machlok is actually, if to be mekayim kilayim in a vineyard is an issa d'oraisa d'rabbanan, even if it's an issa d'oraisa to just be mekayim it, one certainly would not get the punishment of lashes for violating the d'oraisa unless he did some actual masa, some actual act, because just passively violating a d'oraisa doesn't incur lashes ever. So that means to just simply ignore the wheat and let it grow inside the vineyard would be a violation of being mekayem kilayim in a kerem, very possibly a d'oraisa violation, however, not one punishable by lashes until he does an act. An act would be like, for example, like he builds a fence around it. So he protects the key lime to grow further. That would for sure incur lashes. If it's a Doraisa, then rabbinic, then Doraisa lashes. And if it's just a Durabanan, then Malchus Mardus, just rabbinic lashes. And the Asurim Bahana, the growth of key lime in a vineyard is forbidden to get benefit from. We've seen that before, Pentikdosh. So it's forbidden to get benefit from both the grain growing, if it's grain, and the vines, as we defined in previous Mishnayos, around that grain. The Pasha says it's just Asur Bahana, meaning you can't eat it and can't do other benefit from it. It's meaning you can't use it for firewood, you can't give it as a gift, etc. It's not necessarily the case that you have to destroy it, per se. You have to burn it, but maybe you only have to burn it in the event that you decide to destroy it. So if you're going to destroy it, you have to burn it. But according to many, if you opt just to let it, you pull it out as forbidden key lime and let it go to rot in the ground, whatever it is, or just, you know, leave it be and not eat it, that or whatever, that would be permissible. Okay, so that's kilai hakerem. As for kilai zeroim, says the Mishnah, those are asur milizroa. It's forbidden to plant kilai zeroim, meaning to plant wheat and barley together, for example. Umalakayim, and it's forbidden to let it keep on growing together, as the Mishnayos in the first three Prakim defined. You can't let it grow as mixed species, let's separate them. But umutaram ba'achila v'kol shekein b'hana. Even though it's forbidden to plant or even let grow kilai zeroim, mixed species together, if they did grow together and you let them grow on purpose even, still you may eat them, you can eat the produce and ensure that you can get any benefit, meaning not only eat, but a kol shekein all the more, so you could just, you know, give it as a gift, use it as firewood and so on. That's okay. So just for example, many fruits are hybrid fruits of two different, you know, fruits put together, you know, the old tangelo and all these weird fruits. So it's forbidden to do that. We said the one prohibition midoraisa when it comes to trees is grafting trees together. So you can't graft trees together. If you did graft them, you'd be violating kilai zeroim. But the fruit that grows from the tree, or all the fruits you can buy in the grocery that are different hybrid fruits, are yes, permissible to be eaten. The Mishnah now discusses a third category of kilayim. It's going to skip to what will be the ninth parak's topic, meaning we'll now discuss kilai begadim, forbidden mixtures of fabrics in clothing and textiles. And that's going to be specifically the prohibition of wool and linen together. We know it is shatnas. And the Mishnah says, kilai v'gadim, when it comes to forbidden mixtures of textiles, mutarim b'chol davar, they're permitted for all uses. Ve'nasurin elam lilbosh. The only restriction on kilai v'gadim, on shatness, is actually wearing it. And we'll see more about wearing it and that, covering yourself with it in the ninth parak. But the point is, if you're, for example, a salesperson and you're selling shatness garments to non-Jews, that's no problem, etc. Any benefit you get from shatness is okay, with the exception being you cannot actually wear it. And finally, kilai behema, when it comes to the forbidden mixtures of animals, mutarim legadel ulekayem, they're actually permitted to raise and maintain together. So here the words kilai behema mean two different species of animals. So we're saying, for example, if you have horses and donkeys, which are two different species, you may keep them in the same corral, you can feed them together, etc. That's not a problem. Even if you know full well they're likely or liable to mate, and them mating is two different species mating together, that's not a problem. You're allowed to do that. Kilai behema, horses and donkeys, for example, mutarim legadel, you can raise them together. Ulekayem, you can feed them together, no problem. Ve'en nasurim ela milaharbia. The prohibition of kilai behema, at least the one of the two Doraisa prohibitions, the one about cross-mating animals of different species, is when you physically get in the act and kind of conjoin them together, like, you know, like Lego pieces, you put them together, as is what farmers, people involved in animal husbandry do. That is the way of farming even today. But if they do it on their own, that's not a problem. So Einan Asurim, if they do it on their own, it's not a prohibition, it's not a problem. Ela Milaharbia, the prohibition is actually putting them together. And kilai behema, now the Mishnah skips the topic of cross-working animals, as I call it, meaning the shore, the donkey, and the ox pulling together or something like that. Mishnah doesn't discuss it. We'll discuss in the parak presently. In any case, that's to do it together is forbidden. The Mishnah doesn't speak that out, but the Mishnah does say kilai behema asurim zeh b'zeh. if you have now, and this phrase, kilai behema, has taken a new meaning now. Here we're talking about the offspring of forbidden mixtures. So, for example, you have horses and donkeys living in the same corral. They produce mules. So the mules, if you have two mules, you may not mate those mules together. Now, according to the Bartanura, our Mishnah is talking about a case where one of the mules has a donkey for a mother, and one of the mules has a donkey for a father, and the other parent is the horse. So that is the case where you may not cross breed these animals together intentionally. Notwithstanding the fact, by the way, that in the case of mules, the mules can't have any offspring. That's not the point. And that would still be usser, to actually be laharbiya, to put two mules together, one male, one female. If the mother of one mule is a horse and the mother of the other mule is a donkey, would be forbidden. Even though they're both called mules, they're different kinds of mules. And when you look at the mother as being the relevant feature, at least that's other partners explaining over here, this Tana. And that being the case, to mate the two mules of different types together would be forbidden.